I heard a lot of chatter about this being the best episode of the season so far. How do you guys feel about that?
It was definitely action-packed. The most action-packed season, or episode of the season so far.
Yeah, we saw our first... do we see our first people getting burned alive? Maybe?
Yes. In the first scene. The first scene was the dragon attacking at night, right? Wasn't that?
Yeah.
The crab people? Or was that last episode? That was Prince Daemon, like, his first attempt to, like, attack, and then it didn't work out well, because the arrow people, right, hurt the dragon and sort of hit him.
The arrow people, the crab people.
The crab arrow people.
The
crab apple arrows.
I think so. Like, I find it difficult to understand how Daemon was having such a hard time with this, like, because every time you saw him, he seemed to be just like doing great, you know.
Well, he was losing,
but like, right? He was burning stuff down, and like, he didn't really seem in that much danger, right?
Well, what happened, so at the little council meeting that they had with him, when he like went all ape on that random guy that delivered the message that help was on the way, right?
Yeah,
remember, so, he like got the message and it said help was on the way, and he like didn't want help, or was that like him rebelling against the fact that he's weak and he's losing?
Yeah, like I think he considered that to be like a slight, right? Like a.
Yeah, exactly.
I can do. He's proven it. I think he's proven himself, and I think that he considered that a slight.
That battle happened before the help could arrive, right? That was still the original group of people that just did a different strategy.
Okay. Yeah.
Right.
But what was interesting about this battle, well, the first thing that I think is quite interesting about this battle is, and I'm going to jump straight to the end on this one, you don't actually see Daemon kill the crab eater. No, I always get this wrong. The crab feeder.
Crab feeder.
He's a feeder.
The crab feeder? Is that what he's called?
And I think this was an interesting choice, and I liked it. Because, as I understand it, Crab Feeder had grayscale. He certainly looked like he had grayscale in the shots. And I really quite liked his twitchy movements and his very subtle body language. Like, it wasn't overly
done.
Very
crab-like.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Very crab-like.
But it wasn't exaggerated. It was, like, twitchy, like, you know, sort of like... something.
Yeah, like, was he wearing something like on his head? Was it like part of a shell, or was that just how his head was? I don't know.
It's a mask, or part of a mask, right?
Part of a mask. Look at a picture of this dude.
I like the visuals of him, but it's kind of interesting to like, yeah, he's got an interesting look about it, very creative. I kind of like that. But
he's got an interesting look. But we really didn't really know anything about him as a character, like what his motivations were, or anything. We
aren't going to hear from about him ever after that, because he was sort of just a little rebellious, like, nuisance that they just took out.
Yeah,
you know? Yeah. That's the like one negative I have about this episode, is just that they didn't really, you know, have. Interesting. They could have made that a little more interesting, I think. But I think overall, the rest of it was really good. The action and the politicking in this episode were both very good.
My guess is that the crab feeder isn't that interesting as a general. Like, he's just a plot device
He didn't even get screen time for his death.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I mean, he got his body got screen time, but the actual, we don't even know how well he fought. Like, you know? He just gets dragged out of the cave with half his remaining body left.
Well, he doesn't look particularly formidable. He actually, I think he kind of looks a bit sickly, to be honest. And he probably, if he has grayscale, I don't know, like, is he going to be much of a fight against, like, Daemon Targaryen, who...
Well, that's what I was thinking. Like, it probably was a very short fight, because he doesn't look like he was... He looked like he was much... He never goes out into the field at all. And Daemon, like... Daemon, like, he comes out to release the crabs, basically. But just like he released his army. Like, he's probably not very... a good fighter at all, because he stands sort of behind his army the whole time.
Yeah. You know?
And then he retreats into his cave.
And if he's got grayscale, there's a, I don't know what the effects of grayscale are necessarily. I know that it affects your mind, but I like he's like, and it also, if you take into account as well, like Daemon Targaryen in particular is not going to be as exhausted from battle as like anyone else on the battlefield, right? He flies straight in, and generally speaking, when he fights, he's not really exerting himself in the same way that any other foot soldier would, right? Not to mention, of course, and I always imagine this in medieval fantasy, and probably there's probably some truth to it in actual medieval battles, is that like the nobility would have been much healthier than everyone else, because they would have had like a more varied diet, they would have been able to like eat properly, you know, they weren't malnourished, and you know, they probably had a,
What are those people? What are the people eating? What are those like? What is the crab army actually surviving on that island?
I'd imagine
Is it
crabs.
crab? Is it
Yeah.
crab?
I'm sick of crabs.
They eat so many crab they become like them.
Maybe, yeah, it's like, yeah, the crabs eat the people and then the people eat the crabs. So it's like secondary cannibalism, I guess, in that regard. So I like, I
Bad
do,
people.
yeah, I like, so I like the cinematography of it. But also, what I did quite like about the battle is the parallel between this and Rhaenyra's hunting scenes. It felt like they lined up really quite well. This idea that Viserys is like a bit impotent, a bit unenthusiastic, and then you've got Rhaenyra, who killed a boar very enthusiastically, albeit with the help of Criston Cole.
Yeah, she kind of like, I mean, she made the final kill herself, but she stabbed it like eight times, right, with a smaller knife.
Yeah.
But what's that guy's, Chris,
Criston
Sir
Cole, I think it
Chris,
is.
Sir Criston?
That's
Yeah,
it, yeah.
he made the first blow, right, on the boar. He
Yeah,
kind of
like
weakened it
he did
to
the
the same state.
But she was not shy in the same way that when Viserys had his stag that was captured, like he wasn't into that. Like he was like, oh, okay, gotta do the ceremony, you know.
Yeah, he sort of begrudgingly sort of did it. He had to get told to stab it one more time harder.
Yeah. And I think that was kind of like a metaphor for it, is that Viserys kind of like just lost the will for being a king. And you've got Rhaenyra, who is kind of, she's kind of like taking a degree of agency, you know, because she was like, she brought the boar back and she was like covered in mud and everything. It was kind of like a bit of a power move. Yeah, Daemon, who he won on the is it Stepstones? That was a, you know, that's a power move. Viserys did no power move. He is power moveless, and I think
Well,
that's.
it's all like, yeah, it's all image. I mean, a lot of it's tradition and image. It's not like actually getting things done, I guess. It's more tradition, which is why it's begrudgingly done.
And of course, there was the scene about the white stag where she saw the white stag but decided not to pursue it. I do have to
Yeah, what
say
do you
it.
think that's about?
Well, I first off, just to the superficial stuff, the CGI on that ruined it for me. That looked like such a CGI white stag. Like it was Bambi. It was just like, I don't
Yeah, I
know.
don't
I
even
felt
know.
like it's a little bit, not necessarily what it looked like, but the movement of it just looked very, very CGI. But that
They
aside,
should have just got like a real thing and then like colored it white or something. Got like a reindeer.
yeah.
And then did white editing on it.
Yeah, I think, see, it the white stag represents the crown, right? And her deciding not to pursue the white stag might mean that she decides not to pursue the crown, which possibly might be something like a foreshadowing towards the very end of the Dance of Dragons, maybe.
Maybe, I don't know.
She has
I
the
didn't
option
actually.
to, like it's within her grasp, but she decides that it's not worth it, or that, you know, she takes like the Arya path almost, as it were, you know, makes her own path.
I don't. Maybe it's sort of that, you know, Viserys is like sticking to tradition and everything, going through with this hunt, like, and Rhaenyra seems more like willing to, you know, like change what the crown is and and everything, so
change the
she
order of
isn't
things,
as focused. Change the order of things a little bit because her reign would be different than her father's. And I was thinking about this hunt in comparison to the hunt in season one of Game of Thrones, where Robert gets killed. Well, he gets like fatally wounded by the boar,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And it's such a different kind of hunt in this era of like where the Targaryens are like so high up and detached from society and regular, you know, like they're like farther away from the common people. They have a party go out and, you know, tie up this deer.
Yeah.
For Viserys to kill, basically, with, you know, he didn't really do anything to hunt the deer or anything like that.
Yeah.
And then Robert, and when Robert's case, you know, he actually lost his life because of a hunt. You know, so it shows like a different, it's like a different kind of king.
Yeah, it's like, well, what makes a good hunt, right? Like, in one case, like, should the person that's highest in power, like, do the honorable thing and actually do all the hard parts of the hunt? Because I feel like having your whole army do it for you just so you can stab the creature, like, you didn't do as part of tradition, but you didn't really do the hunt then. You just sort of did the last thing.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, it's,
but
it's
also the ridiculous.
Yeah.
The ridiculous spear thing that Jason Lannister gives him to.
Yeah.
To kick the final.
Kill it, so.
He's got tassels on. His little tassels here.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah. I was thinking too, like, I remember. So it's in this episode that, like, the king, he says that he wants Rhaenyra to be happy, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't that like what he says? But he also tells her, right, in this episode, that he doesn't want her to be replaced. Like, that's not his intention at all, to replace her. So I wonder if that sort of helps her not want to be the one that takes out the White Heart, because then maybe she's kind of stepping on him and replacing him. So I don't know, like, there's this balance of, like, well, I want you to, like, get married, you know, and do all this, but my goal isn't to get you, replace you. I don't want to replace you as a person. It's just about
I think he kind of realizes, like, sort of two fundamental things about Rhaenyra. The first is that she doesn't need anything. Like, he talks to Jason Lannister and is like, do I look like I need more, you know, military power? I've got dragons. Do I look
right.
like I need more than dragons? Right. So she doesn't need to marry for an army, probably, right? Or it's unlikely right. that she's going to need to marry for an army. She's probably not going to need to marry for wealth. So she can marry for any reason that she wants. But then I think the second thing is that he also understands that she's going to make her own way, and she'll probably, like, not be stupid. Like, I think he probably trusts her.
Think about it. She'll make, like, a good decision.
Yeah, like,
he also says that too, right? He says, like, you should marry whoever you want. Like, he does give her that permission to just make up what you want to do. I don't want to replace you or do it for you.
Yeah, but he also knows, like, the more that he tries to guide her, the more she'll resist. And he, I think,
exactly,
he
and that's why she's on the perimeter. That's why she runs away.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. So I think he sort of understands at that point that, like,
what does
she,
like, why does she run away? Why does she, like, take off on the horse?
Doesn't, she doesn't,
like, she says some, like, offhand, like, comment,
okay,
and then,
well,
someone else says, like, one of the women says something about her, right?
Yeah, yeah. Red wine, right? Who?
I can't.
The red wine lady is, I believe, the original house, the maiden name of Olenna Tyrell from the original Game of Thrones, I'm blanking on her name. Max, you've got to know this. Diana
Rigg. I don't know her name, but she was in Obi-Wan.
Yeah, Diana Rigg.
Right? Yeah.
I think it is, right? Yeah.
I think so.
Yes. I think so. Yes. Elena Tyrell was originally, before she got married, was a red wine, I believe. Could be wrong on that one, but I know that her family's like at least, linked to it or married into it. I actually really kind of like this. How they sort of set this up, that she didn't like the hunting as well, yet she did it. Whereas like Viserys started off like looking forward to the hunting, looking like he was going to enjoy it, and then sort of soured on it over time. So that's kind of interesting. I think what we saw in this episode really was Rhaenyra and Daemon claiming agency and Viserys losing it, and also a little bit of Alicent Hightower. Like she's sort of finding her stride a little bit, because up until now she was basically doing her father's bidding. She was and often under duress, but this episode she was kind of not. She was becoming the person that she's going to be in the Dance of Dragons. The
Does her father like, or like Otto, right? Is that what his name?
that's the one.
His
Yep.
name is. Doesn't he still think that the son is going to be the heir? Like he still thinks that's gonna happen, right?
Well,
That the king's gonna do that.
this is
He
the
still
int
does, right?
th this is kind of the interesting thing. So the si on the side of the Dance of Dragons, you've got Alicent's side and you've got Rhaenyra's side. And the thing is, and Alicent's son, Aegon, second of his name, he doesn't want to be king. Alicent doesn't seem hell-bent on her son, him being king, Aegon, her son. And Otto Hightower doesn't really seem that hell-bent on it. Maybe he is behind the scenes. The thing about Otto Hightower, of course, he seems very good at guarding his expressions and emotions. But I think what's going to be quite interesting and tragic about this series is that there's going to be this conflict for the crown, but like the people closest to the conflict are going to be the ones who least want to be involved in it, least want it to happen, most willing to make peace. But because there's so much peripheral politicking, it just adds oxygen to the fire, right?
And Otto, in this, his suggestion for who Rhaenyra should wed really benefits him, but he sort of like brings it up into the king in such a way to be like, oh, this is just gonna help her because she's not gonna be getting all these marriage proposals, it'll be close to home.
Well,
But
he, yeah, someone
it's
else
really
points
him
out,
just
like,
trying to nip the civil war in the bud before it starts and get his grandson to really become the king, so become the heir basically.
Yeah, well, it'd be an interesting ambiguity, because if Aegon married Rhaenyra, he would be king consort rather than like the crown king. But
Yeah, but then at that point, there's like after Viserys dies, there would like it'd be assumed that the lords would back Aegon in that as being, or treat him as being the king.
Yeah, well, treat him as being the king. Like, I think, and there have been times in history, I believe, where that's kind of been the case, where like marriages like that were done as a way just to like keep everybody happy. And fundamentally, they could slash would be like king and queen as equals. They'd be like a power couple of sorts, right? And no one would really care, or no one would really discuss, because like it wouldn't fundamentally matter. They'd make decisions as a pair, as a collective. Their interests would be as aligned as they could be. It would just basically be the path of least resistance to not having a war. So it could be
Take the
this just
peak.
like, I think what they could be doing with that suggestion possibly is presenting the branch of an alternative timeline where that happens and then the Dance of Dragons doesn't. it could be like, yeah, it could, you know, in a very established Targaryen way of solving problems, bring the lineage back together, but they decide not to do that, and then the Dance of Dragons happens, possibly. Maybe. I know a few things that happen, and I don't know, because obviously you, Matt, are less contextualized with this, so I don't know how much you want me to give away. I don't know, like, a lot, but I do know some things, like some key yeah. things that are
Doesn't
destined
matter.
To happen.
I mean, you can talk about it.
All right, well,
if it makes good content, you can talk about it.
I think, unless I have misunderstood something, Rhaenyra ends up marrying Daemon, which I think is kind of like foreshadowed in
this.
Yeah. So it does go that sort of Targaryen way.
Wow.
Because and it's kind of foreshadowed, because I think Daemon kind of like has planned that from the beginning.
Yeah, he's shown interest in her, like every scene they've shared together, like giving her gifts and
yeah, the little necklace in the beginning and
dropping into Valyrian and yeah, like and of course, like that conflict on the bridge at Dragonstone, like Rhaenyra, like he was never gonna do anything, you know. He was never gonna, like Rhaenyra just ended it.
But I guess
you know?
I guess I'm curious how that decision gets made, and if Rhaenyra makes that choice, or
well, what
if
we
it's sort of just what they decide.
Well, today really heavily kind of foreshadowed it, because it illustrated how similar Rhaenyra and Daemon are. Like, they kind of had their own
their characters line up.
Their characters lined up, like, very, you know, perfectly, really. They both, like, you know, killed something. They both sort of went in the face of their father. No, not their father. Their king, because of course Daemon brother.
Yeah. They both ride dragons. They had that little dragon egg scene as well earlier on, where she like kept the peace by telling him to give the dragon egg back.
Yep. So it makes
it's just be fun to see that develop and see how that works.
Definitely. And sorry, Max, go ahead.
I think in the future, if it goes the way we've been thinking, and that Rhaenyra and Daemon get together, that's going to be sort of what turns Otto Hightower more into backing his grandson more aggressively and everything, because those seeds were sown in the first episode of Hightower does not like Daemon at all.
That's correct. Yeah. So that's,
I'm thinking that maybe what we see in the next episode might see some Rhaenyra and Daemon stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
Rhaenyra and Kristen Cole too seem to be a thing as well.
Well, like Kristen Cole ends up being quite like, from what I understand of what Kristen Cole ends up doing, he ends up killing someone on the Small Council in a way that doesn't seem like his character now. Like, he seems to get a little bit darker and more warped by sort of conflict and that kind of thing. He seems, because at the moment he kind of seems a little bit knight in shining armor, doesn't he, Kristen Cole?
Yeah, he does, very much.
He's very charming.
He saved her from the boar.
he seems to.
He ran after the princess when she ran away.
it'd be kind of interesting to see how their relationship develops, whether or not it's going to be a romantic kind of thing, or whether or not like it will be one of those kind of relationships where one of them like does a grand favor, and that kind of keeps them, you know, not necessarily indebted, but like feeling close, you know. It's like the pieces are starting to fall into place now, and it's kind of, and I'm kind of enjoying that. Also, the Valyrian kids are growing up a little bit. This is 3 years, and it's kind of interesting actually, because there was the young woman who was 12 in episode 2. 3 years passed, right. So 15 is actually like that's
15.
That's a bit of a jump, really, because those 3 years, like 3 years when you're like 30, are not nothing, but 3 years when you're 12 is everything, right?
Those are some important developmental years.
Because
I think there's changing the actresses for both Alyssa Hightower and Rhaenyra within like the next two episodes as
Oh,
well
really?
too. Yeah.
Wow.
Because like
Yeah,
yeah.
I guess you got to do that when there's a time jump. You got to do that because you
Yeah.
can't make people age.
Because the Valyrians, they I mean, we saw one of the Valyrian children ride a dragon in this episode. And I think they both do. And it's like how old before you are old enough to ride a dragon? Is there like a I know
I don't
that
know.
in
There's
America,
got to be. You got to be trained.
is it 15
Oh, for
before you can
driving?
drive a car in the States?
Oh,
you
it
need a
depends on the
permit.
state. I think
It
some
does.
states is as young as 14.
Oh my God.
Permits and stuff. Yeah, I don't know if you
Yeah.
like get your license that young, but they do have under 18 licenses, right?
Yeah, and well, in Pennsylvania, I got my permit. You can get your permit at 16 and your license at 16 and a half. Yeah.
Wow. That's
Yeah.
I mean, here in the UK it's 17, which is it seems just weirdly young. Like
Oh, license age. License
I
age.
think
Okay, age requirement for learner's permit by state. The youngest is 14.
14. Can
And
you imagine? Yeah. Oh my God.
that's like some of the middle and northern states, like North and South Dakota and
Yeah, it's like for
yeah.
out in the boonies where
Wow.
like for agriculture, mostly like kids are working on family farms, I guess is the idea.
Oh well,
Yeah,
we've
they
got.
need to work young. Like Montana's 14 and 6 months, you can get your
Oh,
learner's permit.
well, I think in the UK,
Full license is 16 to 18 usually. Yeah. What's it like in the UK?
I think in the UK to drive on a farm is a bit younger. I mean, on the streets though, like it's 17, but yeah, if you're working on the farm, I've been to school with farmers, and they drive tractors when they're quite young, but I don't know if that's
Yeah.
legal because it's on a private land on a
Probably
farm.
not.
Who's gonna know, right? I don't
Probably
know.
not. They're gonna no, the man in charge of the farm is gonna make his kids do stuff. You can't stop
Yeah.
that.
It's but so I don't know, like I suppose in Game of Thrones world where everything's a bit younger anyway, I suppose 15 is almost old enough to ride a dragon, right?
To at least
Yeah.
start, yeah. To at least start to
Totally.
learn, of
Start
course.
long, yeah. Small dragon.
Kick them out of the house when they graduate high school or something. Or whatever they. Is there school? Is there even school in
Well,
this time?
there's
There's
the
no school, right?
maesters
the maesters,
teach, I guess.
but they're old, kind of. Well, not all old, are they? No, yeah. Well,
All right. I'm
yeah.
just curious. It's just a curious question.
They have a university of sorts, but it's usually just noble children being taught by, well,
Wonder what
set.
the initiation process for riding a dragon is, though. Like, I don't know how they. You know how they select people
Well,
to do that?
it's only like people of Valyrian descent. So the people like in the Targaryen and the Valyrian families,
Okay. All right. That makes sense.
and they're like given a dragon egg when
When they're
they're
little,
babies,
to bond with it.
and they bond with the dragon growing up.
Right. Gotta make that bond. Makes sense.
Yeah, the
Well,
dragons let you ride them, I suppose, is
let them come
really
to you, yeah.
So
So you gotta build a bond early to start, so that they're more accepting and comfortable with you, I guess.
yeah, I will say
Cool.
actually what is quite interesting about this episode as a whole, the battle scenes in particular, I enjoyed them the second time watching. Because when I was watching for the first time, I don't know, I was a little bit on the edge of my seat. I was a little bit like and a little bit nervous and a little bit like I don't know, overthinking things. And when I was watching it for the second time, knowing what was happening, I enjoyed them a little bit more. I know that like Daemon's stuff when he started going a bit Jon Snow towards the end was a little bit action
It was a little
hero-y.
gratuitous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It
But
was.
yeah,
It
you
was a
know.
little like Deus Ex Machina with like the dragon showing up like right when the army's all around,
Yeah. I
Classic.
mean, it's but it's a, yes, it was very cinematic is what I'll yeah what you
Yeah.
can say. But I enjoyed it. It was good.
That was fun. It was a good time. We still haven't got our ship battle yet though. I was wondering if there was gonna be like dragon attacking ships, but no, not quite seafaring battle yet.
I suspect we will do, because
Maybe.
a lot of it is taking place off of the east coast of Westeros. So,
Yeah. It's been fun. I'm enjoying it.
It is. Did you okay? So did you guys notice the aging of Viserys, the king? He looked a little bit older. Like
He
the
did look a little
hairline. The
older.
hairline's faded back a little bit, you know?
The gray hair a little bit.
Yeah, it's a bit gray, a bit more faded back, a little, you know, he's kind of got a Joe Biden thing going on there, you know, a little bit. It's yeah.
He really liked that alcohol. I don't know how many of those glasses he had, but
yeah. Some people have been saying that it's like pain relief because he's like falling apart, basically. But I think
he's just
a lot
numbing himself.
Yeah, I think he was like numbing himself. I was kind of getting the vibe that he was just like, I'm done. Like he's on the way out. I think he might die next.
He's succumbing. He's succumbing to his acceptance of being on the way out. Basically, yeah.
I think there's a good chance he could die in the next episode.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
when somebody shows their first sign of weakness, you know,
it's foreshadowing. I don't know. What do you think, Max? Do you think it's next episode or episode after? It's got to be one of those two, right?
I think he'll last another two.
Two. So at the,
I hope.
Like at the end of the next two, like it'll be the final thing. It'll be, and then it'll fade to black.
Yeah, that'd be. Yeah. So we're on episode three now. So that'd be good, like mid-season ender, right mid-season there, shift. Like right in the middle of the season.
When did Robert Baratheon die? He died in episode four, right?
I think so. He died early.
He died early. Who killed what? When? What does what episode? I'm just gonna try and find it now. Assassination of Robert Baratheon. Let's see. Robert's death. Hunt. It'll be in the IMDb synopsis, won't it?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Isn't that something you can just Google? Like, when does this character die? In the
it kind of, but they when I just Googled it now, it's it talked about like real in-game, you know, in show years, that kind of thing. The wolf. Is it the wolf and the lion? Is it six? Season.
Wow.
Episode. I'm seeing episode seven.
Yeah, seven. Robert has been injured while hunting and is dying. John and the others finally take their vows at the Night's Watch. Okay.
But he got injured. He was injured for a little while before.
Yeah.
He died, right?
Yeah, he was injured for a few episodes, yeah. Because him and Ned were like had a scene together where they were both injured, right?
Yeah.
Robert goes hunting in episode six and then dies in episode.
Survived a while.
Yeah. So, interesting. Okay, all right. So it could be a bit later. I don't know what. So they've already commissioned a season two. They obviously had a season two on the card. So we're not going to see the end of the Dance of Dragons this season, which.
Right.
Yeah.
We're seeing all these time jumps now. I wonder if later they're going to have to slow the pace down just because we've been going so fast. Like it's like every episode's a couple year time jump already.
Yeah. Something tells me they are one of the things I do quite like about this episode is we did get a bit more of a broader sense of Westeros at this time. We're, you know, seeing more families. We saw the Strong family, we saw the Lannisters, we saw the Red Wines, we saw Hightowers. We saw the older Hightower guy. So they were like the bigger players of power. I think it's unlikely that we're going to see Starks. We saw Starks as a cameo in episode one, but...
They're in North doing their own thing.
Yeah.
They don't really... I don't think they really care about what's going on.
No.
They stay
well away from it. They're up there for a couple of hundred years before anything happens now. So... Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
That's good. Right. I think this is... This is probably, I quite enjoyed this episode. Probably the best of the season so far. Most people are saying it as such, but it's still lacking comedy. It's still like this, there's not been any comic relief or lightheartedness. Still very dour. That's the only thing about this series I will criticize it for. And also using
they could have injected a little more humor into some of the scenes, like with when. She Rhaenyra is in the Godswood listening to the guy playing the song.
The bard,
yeah.
Yeah.
It was a little funny.
Okay,
not
yeah.
Hilarious.
Yeah. All right, that's the
It was a little bit funny. He like kept playing and they were both ordering him what to do and he was like caught in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a little funny.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. All right. But yeah, all right. That's the point. Like that's I wouldn't go so far as to call that a joke, but it was something that wasn't that was a little bit of a
Yeah. All right, I think they could go further with that. They could like make that guy a reoccurring character or something.
Yeah. There's a lot of alcohol in this episode. They could have done some more funny alcohol stuff.
Yeah, they could have. You know. Yeah. Yeah, because even Robert Baratheon, when he was in the Game of Thrones, like he just had some good one-liners, right? Like he just, you know, like start the joust before I piss myself, you know, classic, you know. Like it's great, yeah. Yeah, they could have done a lot more with that, actually, come to think about it, which is, you know, I'm not going to get my hopes up that that's going to change in this season. I was thinking that bard guy might have possibly been like a not a ripoff, but a Jaskier from The Witcher. Like they're going to let's have
Witcher moment.
Yeah, let's have our own Jaskier because he went down very well. He's my favorite character in The Witcher. You know, I think he's great. So, you know, why not steal a? Yeah, why not get a dollar store brand for Game of Thrones as well? You know, just pull a bard off the shelf. But I think he's probably not going to be a reoccurring character. I don't know. Maybe, who knows?
No, I don't even think we got his name.
No.
I don't even think he had a name in that scene.
No,
his name was Samwell.
Oh.
I remember because I'm like, oh, like Samwell Tarly.
Ah, well, there we go. But even yeah, Samwell, Tyrion, or like main characters in Game of Thrones had comedy moments. You know, it was so, yeah. But anyway. It's a gripe I can live with. It's fine, you know. It's
you're just gonna have to be a little bit more serious then, Chris.
Just gonna have to be a little bit more serious. Very serious. Very serious. Cool. All right. Any final thoughts? Because we've got to wrap up because Max got to shoot. I thumbs up from me. I'm happy. Looking forward to the next season.
I'm having a good time too. Yeah, it's fun.
Oh, I'm good. That's good.
Yeah. Sorry. It just I think the show keeps getting better.
Yeah,
it's ramping up.
Who's the character that you are most excited to see develop, Matt?
Me?
Yeah. Is there a character like who's the guy that who's or woman that you're like? I want to know like what are they going to do next in you know in 3 years' time in the next episode or whatever.
Oh. Well, Rhaenyra's not needed, but you told me that she ends up with Prince Daemon, but I want to see what the king does. He's under some stress. I want to see because I don't know how he like. I don't know how he dies. You don't have to tell me that, you know, but he's in a rough spot right now, but he's got like all the world's attention on him. I want to see what he does.
Yeah. What about you, Max? Who's the character that you're, you're sort of more intrigued to see how they develop?
Daemon.
Yeah.
Definitely Daemon.
Yeah, he is the interesting. I thought they were going to set him up as a more like sinister Joffrey-esque character, but actually I kind of like him. Like he's, you know, he's the problematic fave, right? You know, he's...
Yeah.
Maybe he'll change. Maybe he won't.
I think mine's going to be Criston Cole. I suspect, I get the vibe that he's going to turn into a really, like, not a sinister character, but, like, just a cutthroat. Not a cutthroat character. He'll be loyal to Rhaenyra, but he will be, like... He will go dark. Like he will be
like he'll be the best dark. He'll be the best friend and dark.
Yeah, he'll be like, the one that buries Rhaenyra's bodies. You know, he will be, yeah,
right hand man,
doing all the dirty work. Like, and I think
the best friend that does all the dirty.
Yeah, and I think like that's going to come from like he's been in real battles, and as Jorah Mormont likes to say, war makes monsters of us all. And it's like, yeah, there's you know, maybe some unraveling that you can do with Criston Cole that brings out a side of him that's less a little bit of a knight in shining armor.
Yeah. He's going to fall. All he needs is a little push.
Yeah. Cool. All right. So, episode 3, Grand. Thank you for everyone for joining. Thank you, Max. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Chris. It's okay. You're welcome. And and we'll
yourself on the back.
Yeah. Everyone, give yourself a pat on the back. Good. Yeah. Well done. All right. Thank you for joining us. And toodaloo.
See ya.